Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Episode Forward Thinkers. Mein Name ist Daniel Fürk und ich bin heute hier in Turku auf dem Shift Business Festival und treffe mich hier mit Miko Duffa. Er ist Leading Foresight Specialist bei Sitra, dem finnischen Innovation Fund. Ich wollte von ihm wissen, wie man eigentlich die Zukunft vorhersagen kann, wie zuverlässig diese Prognosen sind und worauf wir uns da in den kommenden 5 bis 10 Jahren einstellen müssen. Viel Spaß beim Zuhören.
In an ever-changing world, we need to keep track of what will be next. Forward Thinkers is your 48 Forward podcast to discover the future. We are talking to innovative and creative minds from all over the world to learn more about what they are working on and what they think will change the way we work and live within the next decade. Are you ready to join the ride? Welcome to Forward Thinkers.
Miko, I'm so glad that we are able to meet here in Turku during the Shift Festival. And you've been on stage earlier, so we have a lot to talk about. And but first, welcome to Forward Thinkers.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
So you are a foresight expert specialist. Could you explain what exactly is your job? So what are you doing?
So my job is basically to look at futures. But what that means is that I look at changes. I look at emerging things. And even though I'm kind of focused on the future doesn't exist. So we have to look at what is happening now, what has happened in the past, what kind of ideas we have about futures, what kind of visions and plans we have, and what kind of perhaps tensions and conflicts there are. So really trying to get an overview and a general understanding of what is changing now, what do we hope, what do we fear, what is holding us back, what is driving us forward.
Right now we are living in times where everything seems to change and everything is happening at the same time, more or less. How did that change your work? Or is it even like that big of a change? Because is it something you kind of anticipated like 10 years ago? Because that's basically your job, right?
Yeah, and futurists and foresight specialists and futures people like to always say that we are living in unprecedented times and times of rapid change. If you read the intro to one of the future classic, Alvin Toffler's Future Shock, written in the 70s. It's all about how the rate of change is so rapid that we are having this culture shock when we are thinking about future. It seems so foreign. Douglas Rushkoff wrote a book about present shock. So it's not the future anymore. It's even the present, which is kind of, the change is so rapid. So this is a theme that is often said. I struggled with this for quite a while, but now I'm also on the side that says that yes, we are living in unprecedented times. We have data to prove it. The humanity has never been in this kind of climate. We are living in times of unprecedented biodiversity loss. This is also something that humankind has never encountered. That together then with the kind of the usual suspects of rapid technological development, globalized economy, etc. This creates this kind of a system, a very kind of complex, sometimes even chaotic system, which might seem kind of really something that is hard to grasp. And that also means that we have to rethink the way we do foresight, the way we do strategy, etc. So I've been really interested in this kind of transformative foresight, this kind of idea that it's not enough to just do visions and hope for the best, but we also need to better understand conflicts, better understand different viewpoints, listen to marginalized voices, and basically understand discontinuities. At the same time, we understand the continuities that there are.
So in general, humans are pretty good at adapting to new situations and whatever changes that are coming up. But with more and more changes coming at the same time, or like one after another in a shorter time frame, it's getting more difficult to adapt. Is there a way we can accelerate that kind of adaption period of society or humanity in general? Or is this something we can't change, which makes it more and more difficult the more changes are coming up?
Yeah, I think the good news is that many of the changes we need to do are actually quite intangible. There are, of course, these more kind of tangible changes, for example, renewing the whole energy system, which takes a lot of energy and materials, etc. But we do need a huge shift in our ways of thinking about economy, ways of thinking about business, our relationship to nature, etc. These are all kind of intangible things, and I'm an engineer by background, so the engineer in me says that, well, this is just, well, we just start thinking differently. But I'm sure everyone knows that it's really hard to change your thinking. So at the same time, even though this kind of, it might be easy to adapt, but it also means that we have to perhaps get rid of things that might be dear to us, our kind of large car or our diet or whatever. And if we can't imagine the kind of the world that might come after these changes in mindset and in lifestyle, etc., then it might be a tough sell. But if we can see that, okay, even though the future is not what was kind of promised to us, it's not about flying cars and unlimited free time, etc., but it might be about connection to other people, connection to nature, kind of more health, and there might be a lot of good things, things we actually value, but we are just really keen on thinking that, well, I really would like to have my flying car that was promised to me in the 70s. Why don't I? Well, there are flying cars, of course, but it's we are kind of stuck in old ways of thinking.
Whenever I talk about behavior changes, I always love to refer to smoking, because back in the 70s, 80s, we've all been taught that smoking can kill you, but it took like decades till the number of smokers significantly went down. So whenever we tell people today that their behavior kills the environment and we have to change to solve that problem, I don't know if we actually are able to change human behavior or social behavior in that dimension we needed to change to really have an impact. What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I really like the smoking example. I've also used the example of jogging or working out, because that is also something you kind of need to do continuously, and it's easy to kind of stop. And but if you do it continuously, you're kind of like, okay, well, this is really, really good for me. I'm really an optimist when it comes to people, that yes, we can change. And I think the smoking example is an example that yes, we can change, but it's really hard for an individual by himself or herself to change. It needs to be a collective thing. There needs to be structural changes that support this change, etc. I'm kind of optimistic that yes we can change. It's also that good to bear in mind that we often like to think that everybody is like us right now and in the future. While, of course, if we state that, we obviously know that, well, everybody is not like us. And some people are already kind of living in the future. I did a report some years ago on the future work, and the hype was there was a lot of hype about how artificial intelligence will do away with a lot of jobs. So the kind of the knowledge workers were worried, and then people working in arts were saying like, "Well, welcome to our world. We are already living in that world that you are describing as the future world." And I think we need to kind of look into this, that understand that there are already these kind of pockets of future where we can also learn from that. What is it like to live in that future? So even though it might seem really hard to adapt, if you're just looking from your perspective, you can look for examples that, well, people have already adapted. People are living sustainably. People are living with a very small carbon budget, for example, and they are doing fine. They are happy. So it's not, it might be hard to imagine, and therefore it might be good to look for these kind of examples. There are these projects in Foresight, for example, the Seeds of Good Anthropocene tries to list this kind of inspiring examples of these pockets of future where we might draw inspiration from.
I'm coming from Germany, and I'm traveling to Finland for like the last 10 years very, very frequently. And I got to know the Finnish culture and Finnish people quite well, I would say, over that period of time. What would you say? Is there like a certain, let's call it Finnish advantage when it comes to forward thinking, to future thinking, because the country is more or less pretty young still. There was a lot of change going on in Finnish culture over like, I don't know how many centuries. Is that something that might help when it comes to adapting to new topics, to new changes or whatever? Is there a difference between Finland and Germany, for example, when it comes to thinking about the future?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, because I remember Jerome Glenn from the Millennium Project, he visited Finland and he stated that Finland perhaps has the highest rate of futurists per capita, because we have the Finland Future Research Center, we have the Committee for the Future over 20 years already. So there is kind of a tradition of futures thinking in Finland. And another question is why? There is some say that it's the dark winters that we need to have foresight. But then again, if you look at Sweden, it's kind of the same, but they don't have that same kind of tradition. But perhaps it's the kind of the geopolitical position, being kind of a island, being on a very, nowadays, again, very kind of, there's a lot of tension geopolitically, and then being a kind of small nation. So it's perhaps easier to kind of imagine ourselves as one, which might be good and it might be bad. If you think about the heyday of Nokia, for example, then it was all the whole kind of innovation activities were all related somehow to Nokia. And then when Nokia crashed, well, there was a bit of a creative destruction, but then it was long time people thinking, well, what's the next Nokia? So there is no room for these large players other than one. And it's the same with sometimes with some issues, that it's all only one issue that can be on the headlines, which is of course bad for futures thinking, which is all about diversity etc. And Finland has been changing quite a bit. Of course, the geopolitical situation has shifted, but also this is of course true in other Western countries also. This is a kind of polarization is growing, etc. Perhaps it was always a myth about this Finns as a really homogeneous and don't talk much, but when we do, we say yes, we agree with each other. So perhaps it was always a myth, but at least now it's more kind of busted, this myth.
If we are looking into the future, and that's your day-to-day job more or less, what are the most interesting trends you see coming up for the next like 5 to 10 years?
Well, when it comes to trends, there are of course many kind of lists, and I always emphasize kind of the big picture. So instead of kind of looking at one particular trend or two trends, we need to kind of understand the big picture of change. And this we did with, we published in January our latest megatrend report, which lists kind of 5 key themes. It's one on environment, on nature's carrying capacity deteriorating. There's one on well-being, on geopolitics, on technology, on economy. So these are the kind of the themes you have to look in tandem. Add to that, of course, cultural values, which are kind of cross-cutting all of this. But if you look at the trends and look at statistics and look at reports, the direction of current change is really alarming. We of course know about climate crisis, we know about biodiversity loss, the soil erosion, etc. We are really exceeding have already exceeded many of the planetary boundaries. And this is really troubling. And it's something that how we kind of react to that, how we try to change that direction is the crucial question of this decade. At the same time, we need to kind of solve, if we want to take care of our democracy, we need to somehow find new ways for common decision making, find ways to enhance democracy, and many things are already happening here as well, be it more kind of new dialogue methods or new digital tools. We need to think about what kind of digital world we want to be in. So what is the kind of the direction of the technology? On well-being, and this is very much on the Finnish perspective, we have a aging population, we have both physical and mental well-being challenges that need to be addressed. And all this, of course, has an influence on economy, where we need a paradigm shift from this kind of linear exploitative way of thinking about what economy is to this more regenerative idea about economy, where economy is actually a driver for not just human well-being, but the well-being of nature. How can we capture carbon? How can we increase biodiversity? Not just think about how can we mitigate damages. So we need kind of new business models for that. And I think what's most interesting for me is this kind of the big picture and the tensions and connections between all of these. So I see, for example, economy can be a huge solution in many of these. I see new forms of participation as key parts of solution. Also to, for example, well-being. We know that sense of belonging is connected to well-being, etc. So I see these all really much connected.
So coming back to that behavior topic, would you say that there is a chance that in the end, if we humans are not able to adapt to those challenges and find solutions in our behavior or whatever, do you think there might be a way that technology is going to save us in the end if we humans are not able to do that?
I think it's a question of who this technology will save. Even though I'm an engineer by background, I'm not in the camp that says that technology will save us. I think the technological solutions are pretty much already there if we want to solve many of the challenges. Of course, not everything is is don't have technology for feasible technology for carbon capture in the kind of scale that we need. But we have something, but we can't kind of technology our way out of this mess. That said, some might, and that is also a bit troubling. That those who are kind of promoting this idea that technology will save us, they are actually pretty much saying technology will save them or their way of thinking, being that they then go to Mars or New Zealand, which seems to be the direction they want to go. This actually brings me to a very important topic, which is this idea of power over futures. Where do our images of future, ideas about future come from? And who has a say and who doesn't have a say? So, for example, how much does this kind of technological determinism or technological optimism and utopias, how much do they kind of have space in headlines and press and therefore kind of influence our way of thinking about future and influence what we think is possible or inevitable or how we act today. And I think a much more diversity is needed there.
So would you say in the end, the most troubling fact about those times we are living in is that we humans are more impactful than we have ever been before on our when it comes to creating or destroying our own future in the end, because we can do harm, but we can also do good. And the truth is somewhere in between, probably help us to survive in the future, right?
Yeah, I think we have more influence than we kind of acknowledge. For good or bad, and especially we don't acknowledge how much influence does inaction actually have. So we just say, we think that, well, I'm not doing any good, but I'm not doing anything harm. Well, it's not good. We all need to act more and push for more change. Roadmaps and strategies and technological solutions, all of these kind of things, we do have them. So I see it really much about that we need to start acting on them, and also it's about this kind of mindset shift that we were talking about.
Besides all the topics concerning our nature, climate, and environment, is there a topic that comes to your mind you would love us all to think more about that we kind of keep forgetting all the time, more or less?
Well, this is now going to go into a pretty meta level. But in addition to this, understanding kind of the big picture of change, so the kind of the usual suspects that you see on the headlines or any trend report, basically. The challenge is then also to identify our assumptions when we are thinking about futures. And that is pretty hard. They might be really implicit. We don't really think about what we don't or what we take for granted. But I would really like everybody to kind of spend some time in challenging or identifying challenging their assumptions. We have tried to kind of make it more easy by we have in on our website this kind of audio stories about really this even cliche future. So there is the going to space and there is the technology will save us or eco crisis and whatnot, to use them as an inspiration and think about, well, do I have this kind of assumption about the future? And can I kind of challenge that and therefore create more space? So my answer to kind of the topic is that something that you haven't thought before, because future should always be, or futures thinking should bring us something new, even a bit ridiculous or really strange, because then we know, then we kind of get to grasp something, some kind of new idea about future. And well, that is basically what we hope to do.
Are you in any way afraid of the upcoming power of artificial intelligence?
I'm afraid of the power it has now. I'm not afraid of these kind of super intelligence things. I'm of the school that adding more rows to an Excel sheet doesn't bring an apocalypse. But I'm really worried about the power AI or those who are developing the algorithms, those who are collecting the data, have already, and what kind of that we are. Well, there's a really good quote that I like by Alex Stephen, futurist, that we are not yet ready for what has already happened. He's using it to describe the kind of the climate situation, but I think it applies to many other areas as well. And when it comes to artificial intelligence, we are probably not yet ready for what has already happened. And we are all of the developments are kind of aftermath of the recent kind of developments in generative AI.
So for all that are listening now and wonder where you get all the information from that you need for your daily work, do you have maybe some recommendations for our listeners where they can get the best and most reliable information on trends and developments to get in the end that big picture you talked about?
Yeah. Oh, well, this is a blatant ad, but you can go to citra.fi/megatrends or /weak signals, or then basically just citra.fi. In all our reports, we do have the kind of the sources. For example, in the megatrend report, there's a list of the kind of the key trend reports. So you can, if you don't want to read our stuff, you can find other stuff there. Also on our website, you have then different tools. And we have also listed tools that others have done. So there is a list of those as well in the Future Makers Toolbox.
Thank you so much for that conversation and all those insights you shared with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. Did you enjoy the episode? Follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you prefer listening to your favorite podcast shows. Forward Thinkers is a 48 Forward podcast produced in the 48 Forward Studios in Munich.